The famous golfer Chichi Rodriguez, who was known for his great sense of humor, once said that I attribute becoming a millionaire to marrying my wife. Before I met her, I was a multimillionaire. In today's gospel, we have a man who's already rich, but he becomes richer. He goes from being, back in those days, probably a millionaire, and then he becomes a multimillionaire overnight, because it says his land produced a bountiful harvest. Now, the way the Lord taught us about this parable, the parable called the parable of the rich fool, had to do with somebody who came up to the crowd and asked the Lord to help him work out a disputed will. Apparently there was a will and he felt he was not getting his share of the inheritance. So he goes up to the Lord and said, Lord, tell my brother to give me my share of the inheritance. And the Lord didn't obviously give an answer to that. He used it as an occasion to warn this man about the danger of greed, of greediness, of being too greedy for earthly possessions. And he reminds this man that take care to guard against avarice, guard against greed, because though one may have wealth, it says, that does not, one's life does not consist of possessions. So to drive the point home, the Lord, who is the greatest storyteller, the greatest teacher who's ever taught, gave the parable of the rich fool. And this man already was a rich man, the scripture says. And his land produced a bumper crop, a bountiful harvest. And notice what this man does not do. The man does not talk to God and say, what shall I do with all the blessings you've given me, Lord? See, he does not see himself as a steward. He sees himself as really the Lord of his own destiny, that he can do what he wants with this. He doesn't realize he's just a steward of God, that every blessing we have is a gift from God. So this man has no relationship with God. He doesn't pray and say, God, what do you want me to do with this extra wealth that I've just inherited? He doesn't even think of the poor. He doesn't think of the needy. He doesn't, you know, give even 10% to the synagogue or the temple or to the poor. He's totally self-centered, totally selfish. And he says to himself, what shall I do? I don't have enough space to store all this grain, all this big harvest. Then he says to himself, I know what I shall do. And notice he uses the words I, me, and mine 12 times in just a couple sentences. He says, this is what I shall do. I'm going to tear down my barns and I'll build larger ones to hold all my grain. I shall store all my grain and other goods. I shall say to myself, you have good things stored up for you for many years. Now I can eat, drink, and be merry. That was the pagan philosophy. That was not the Judeo-Christian philosophy, right? See, we believe that we're stewards of God's gift. If he gives us blessings, we're then called to share our blessings with those in need, with the poor, the less fortunate, and those who need God's mercy. So this man said, I'm just going to live like a pagan. This is great. I've just inherited all this money because of this. I have all this money now because of this large harvest. I'll live like a pagan. I'll eat, drink, and be merry. Well, see, notice this man was totally self-centered, self-focused upon his material possessions. But what he did not realize, that he was going to die that night. And it says, but God said to him, notice that this man was not in charge of his life. It was God who's in charge of our life. And he says, you fool. Now, for God to call somebody a fool, that's very strong language that Jesus uses. This man, God called him a fool. He says, this night, your life will be demanded of you. In other words, you're going to die this night. It says, and the things you've stored up, to whom will they now belong? You won't be able to take any of that with you. That's why you've never see a hearse with a U-Haul truck on the back of it, right? You know, that would be quite an image, right? There's never a U-Haul on the back of a hearse. You can't take any of that. In the ancient days, they said there are no pockets in the shroud. So there, you can't take anything with you except the spiritual treasure that you've stored up. So Jesus concludes by saying, thus will it be for all who store up for themselves earthly treasure, but who are not rich in what matters to God. See, all of us are called to become saints. We're all called to become spiritual millionaires. And that's what a saint is, a spiritual millionaire. The saints were rich in what mattered to God. They were rich in holiness. They were rich in God's grace. They were rich in faith, hope, and charity, and good works. See, we're all called to become spiritual millionaires, to become saints. That's what matters most, is storing up for ourselves heavenly treasure. Because earthly treasure, as the Bible says, moth will come in and eat, and rust will decay. All of our material possessions, the Bible says. You know, one of the most powerful stories was the young girl who became a multimillionaire when she was just a teenager. Her name was Catherine. And when her dad died, she was a teenager. She inherited $15 million as a teenager. Now, that's not $15 million in 2010. That's $15 million in the year 1920. Okay? And the 1920s and 30s was when she was a young adult. So imagine that. I mean, how much would that be worth today? Let's say $15 million back in the early 1920s. You know, it was probably, perhaps $150 million today. So here she was, this young girl, and what could she do with it? She was a New York socialite. She had all this money now. She decided to become a nun. And she put all this money in a trust, and she used that money during the course of her lifetime. And she lived to be 95 years of age. She founded Xavier University in New Orleans. She set up orphanages, homes all over the country. And she became a saint, St. Catherine Drexel. And she is a saint now in the Catholic Church. So it's a wonderful story to think of how just the opposite of the rich fool that stored up for himself all this money, and he died that night, and all the money went to other people anyway. St. Catherine Drexel is such a great example of somebody who was blessed by God, but she knew that every blessing was actually a gift from God. And so she prayed and was able to spend her inheritance, and with the interest she gained over the years, by the time she died, she gave out $21 million to the poor, especially to the African Americans and to the Native American Indians of our country. So we should ask ourselves, you know, what is our attitude towards the blessings that God gives us? Do we see ourselves as the master of our own destiny, or do we see ourselves as stewards of God's gifts? So how do we spend the money that God gives us? Do we give a certain amount to charity? Do we tithe and try to help out others who are in need through the Samaritans or the House of Mercy? What are we doing with our finances? Are we using any of it to help save souls, to build up the kingdom of God, to help the less fortunate? A good idea every once in a while is just to look through your checkbook over the last year, or look at your monthly credit card statements to see how much was spent on yourself and how much was given to the poor or to charity. It's just a good examination of conscience once in a while to just review how much is spent on ourselves and how much we will give to building up the kingdom of God, to help save souls and to help the less fortunate.